You know, today the message for my split is don't be Dan. You know, the Bible is full of examples of what we should and what we shouldn't do. Today we'll examine an example of what to avoid. We'll be looking at some of the history of the tribe of Dan, at major issues caused the Danites problems, and why we need to be aware of similar issues and dangers in our own lives. Now, first, we'll start with a little background knowledge. The tribe's namesake, Dan, was Jacob's fifth son. His mother was Rachel's maidservant. At the time of the Exodus, Dan was one of the largest tribes. When Moses was told to take a census, only the tribe of Judah had more fighting men than Dan. In Numbers 38 and 39, we're told that Dan had 62,700 fighting men above the age of 20. Yeah. During that time of Israel's journey through the wilderness, Dan's position was that of the rear guard. This is a position of importance, because being the rear guard meant that they were to be defending against attack from the rear. Again, showing they were one of the stronger tribes, they were trusted in that way. When Israel finally entered the Holy Land, Dan seems to have been a bit slow to even claim their own land. Because of this, they're one of the seven tribes that Judah called out. In Judah 18, verse 2, if you turn there, but there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Not because it hadn't been given to them, though. In verse 3, then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Of these seven tribes, Dan ended up being the last to choose because they drew lots at that point. Dan was assigned land on the coastal plains of Phoenicia, but never conquered it. Think of this matter. They never possessed the land that God was giving them, at least not fully. This can be a bit confusing because the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and half of Manasseh are given permission to dwell on the eastern side of the Jordan River. In Numbers 32, Moses tells them they can only do so after helping their brethren to receive their inheritance. But they never do. Please turn to Joshua 22:1. Joshua 22:1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, the ones that needed permission, and said to them, you have kept all Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all I have commanded you. But you have not left your brethren these many days up till this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. But they were released after having done what was required of them, which was to wait till their brethren had received their inheritance. Why were they released before and when Dan hadn't conquered its land? Please turn to Judges 1, where we'll see how well the tribes did in the conquest of Canaan. Some of the tribes did a better job than others. Dan was one of those who didn't seem to do so well. Judges 1:34. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down into the valley. Dan was pushed into the mountains, and then rather than continuing to fight the Amorites for the plains, the land God had given them, they sent men out to search for land that would be easier to take. They went for an easier path. Before we get too deep into the meat of today's message, I need to explain a couple of odd facts. The first here is in Joshua, the city of Dan captured is called Leshem. But in Judges, the same city is named Laish. Bible scholars believe this is the same city due to the fact The story of how that city was taken is pretty much exactly similar. Both cities are in the mountains in the north and are renamed Dan. The second thing we need to understand is, as we dig into Dan, is that Joshua 19, Judges 1, and Judges 17 and 18 are all the same period of time. I point this out because we often think of the Bible, at least books in the Bible, being kind of chronologically laid out. Please turn to Joshua 19. Joshua 19, 47. Dan can't hold this land, is forced back into the mountains, and some of Dan has never received its inheritance. So what do they do? Like I said, they rather than fight to capture land given to them, they look for an easier route. They move north to Laish. Joshua 19:47. And the border of the children of Dan went beyond those, because the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem and took it. And he struck it with the edge of sword, took possession of it, and dwelt in it. They called Leshem Dan after the name of Dan, their father. If we look at a map of the tribes in the Holy Land, we see why it says the border of Dan went beyond these. Leshem is actually located on the border between Naphtali and East Manasseh. Please turn to Judges 18. While you turn to Judges 18, I will tell you about the man they are about to meet. His name is Micah. The story is told in Judges 17. Micah was a man from the mountains of Ephraim, is also a wealthy man. Micah takes 1,100 shekels of silver and has a silversmith make both a carved image and a molten image. He has a shrine built in his house, an ephod, which is a garment worn by the priests he has made, and household gods. Then he first consecrates one of his sons as his priest. Then later he hires a Levite from Bethlehem to be his household priest. Dan in her journey discovers Micah and his household. So we go to Judges 18:1. In those days, the tribe of Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day, their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them. So the children of Dan sent 5 men of their family from their territory, men of valor, from Zorah and Ethah, to spy out the land and search it. They said to him, "Go search the land." So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. So these men are men of valor, respected men, men trusted to make a decision for their tribe. Verse 3, while they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite, and they turned aside and said to him, "What brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here?" This is interesting because this man is well enough known, although young, to be known of by a different tribe. After answers their questions, they inquire of God whether their journey will be profitable. They ask him too. The problem here is only those of Aaron's line were priests. It doesn't say here he's of Aaron's line. He's just a Levite. See in verses 7 through 14 that they sent spies to go on into Laish and find people who were quiet and felt secure. People in the mountains don't think there's any danger. In other words, they were inattentive. They go back to the tribe and say, "Here's a large land that God has given into your hands." So 600 Danites voyage to the mountains of Ephraim. The mountains of Ephraim. They came to the home of Micah again. On verse 14 we read, "Then the 5 men who had gone out to spy out the country of Laish answered, said to their brethren, 'Do you know there are in these houses, in ephod, household idols, a carved image and a molded image? Now therefore, consider what you should do.'" Consider what you should do. This phrase really got to me. These were men who had been in the wilderness. They had seen an entire generation die in that wilderness. They had to have at least seen some of the miracles God had performed. But yes, they considered what they should do. What did they do, you ask? verses 17 through 20. Then the five men who had gone out to spy went up. Entering there, they took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed with the weapons of war. When they went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household images, and the household idols, and the molded image, the priest asked, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Be quiet. Put your hand over your mouth and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. It's better for you to be a priest in the household of one man or to be the priest to a tribe and a family in Israel." So the priest's heart was glad, and he took it all the images, and he took his place among the people. They took the idols and the false priest with them. They captured Laish and renamed it Dan and installed the idols and the priest. Now you might wonder how long till they corrected their actions, because they had to have known their actions were wrong. Jump to Judges 18:30. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves a carved image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his priests and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they never corrected themselves. Except for themselves, Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. The names of Aaron's sons, grandsons, and great-grandsons are known in here. That's how we know the Levite isn't really a priest. But he filled that role in Dan until the captivity, or the family did. Meanwhile, they worshipped that carved image all the time the house of God was in Shiloh. So roughly about 300 years. Dan having the idol is only a symptom of where they were going wrong. And so point one of Don't Be Dan is we can't worship how we want to. We have to worship the way God tells us to worship. Seems simple, but over time, over and over, people have messed this up. It's a simple rule. The Ephraimite, Micah and his mother, should have known what they were doing was wrong. The Levite certainly knew what he was doing was wrong. The Danites should have understood they were not following God's laws. Most of Christianity keeps Sunday as their day of worship as opposed to today. Even if they don't agree with anything else, the Pope says Sunday was acceptable, so they went with that. They know that Christmas and Easter are lies, but they don't care. They will worship as they want to worship. Brethren, we don't have that option. We need to stay as close to the path of God as we possibly can. To just intentionally sin is not the same as accidentally sinning. We must take care in how we worship. To understand our Bibles, or we'll end up lost in the wilderness worshiping an idol like the Danites. And it's an easy path. Perhaps pulling generations of our family into the same sin, like the Danites did. The second follow we have to be careful of is not to allow ourselves to follow a fake priest. Or in our case, someone who isn't being led by God himself, whose words and actions do not show that God is inspiring him. In Judges, the Levite is hired to do a job for Micah. But he and his family become the priest of the Danites until the captivity. Generation after generation of idols and false priests. We cannot allow ourselves to be misdirected like this. We have to follow someone who's being led by God. Because if he's not being led by God, we're being led by him. I think that's why Mr. Fay was always talking about checking all the details. You know, study your Bibles. Mr. Armstrong was the same way. Yeah. Think of all the splits divide the church over the centuries. Most of those men were too arrogant to, it led to feelings of I'm not in charge. I should be in charge. Unfortunately, the likelihood of so many small groups reconnect is poor. Someone would have to step back and allow somebody else to lead. Has it happened yet? Please turn to 2 Peter 3. Men rarely want to give up control. We are warned in multiple places about false priests. They play to our weaknesses, our doubts, our pride, our anger, a multitude of other things. So what we should be doing? 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider the long-suffering of our Lord as salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. We can't let someone twist our path. So it's up to us as individuals to examine our way and make sure those who teach us and lead will do so out of the Bible. I can remember standing over there, right about there, with a group of men. We were talking, and one of the men mentioned that, we'll be fine as long as we continue to speak out of the Bible. And a voice behind me said, and as long as I'm your minister, you will. Yeah, and that stuck with me. The third folly of Dan to avoid is something we kind of glossed over earlier. Let's go back to Joshua 19. Joshua 19, 47 and 48. And the border of the children of Dan went beyond these which the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem and took it. And they struck it with the edge of the sword, took possession of it, and dwelt in it. They called Leshem Dan after the name of Dan their father. Again, this is the inheritance of the tribe of Dan according to their families. These cities with their villages. And that lists the cities and the villages being in the inheritances of Dan. This is true of the cities listed in verses 41 through 46. It is not really true of Leshem, where it says the border went beyond, because the land around Leshem Dan was right on the border of Naphtali and Manasseh, like I said. They didn't want to or couldn't take their own land because it was too hard. So instead of doing what God wanted to do, they took the easy path. It wasn't just in where they lived, but how they lived. This should be an easy path, is a danger to those that God, even those that God is working with. You know, even the elect should be wary of falling into taking the easy path. As an example, we have the most famous Danite of all, Samson. His story starts in Judges 13 and continues through chapters 14, 15, and 16. Please turn to Judges 13. Here we meet Samson's parents, and in verse 5, his mother is told that Samson will be a Nazarite from birth. The Nazarite vow is found in Numbers 6. The main parts of how the vow works are that the Nazarite is to separate themselves to the Lord by not drinking wine or similar drinks or vinegar from wine or similar drinks or anything from the vine or the grape, including raisins. He should not let a razor touch his head. That's what we think about most often. But let his hair grow, nor should he go near a dead body. In most cases, there was even a set time for the vow, but in Samson's case, it was for his whole life. Even from birth, God was with him. Think about that, even from birth. Judges 13, 24, so the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew and the Lord blessed him. You know, we all knew that Samson was powerful. As a young boy, this is what drew me to his story, you know, being stronger than everybody else. But Samson seems to have an issue staying apart from the world around him. first with his Philistine wife. Though if we look at Judges 14:4, it seems that wasn't his fault. But his father and mother did not know it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had domination over Israel. But we look at verse 10, we see the 30 companions who Samson's wife calls the sons of my people, the Philistines. So his 30 companions are Philistines. Even his best man must have been a Philistine, since the father gives her to him afterwards. Did he turn to a nice Jewish girl afterward like his mother wished? No. At the start of chapter 16, he goes into a harlot in Gaza. Then he meets Delilah. The three women in Samson's life, none of them Israelite. They instead were all of the culture around him. This brings us to the third thing we need to avoid. We can't take the easy road. We need to take care not to become one with the cultures in the world around us. We have to walk a narrow and difficult path. Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by that, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it." The narrow gate is the one that walking the path that God will allow us to enter. We don't get to pick our individual path. It's my truth in following God. We hear that a lot in the world. You know, my truth is different from your truth. I don't have a truth. You don't have a truth. There's just God's truth. There's his way, and there are different paths that Satan has offered us to try and pull us away from righteousness. Satan can make sin and rebellion look like the way to go. Even make it look like you're right to move against what you've been taught. Remember in Genesis when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of good and evil? I'll read Genesis 3:6 to you, so you don't need to turn there. "So the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and tree desirable to make one wise. She took of his fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband, and he ate. It was good for food, tasted good. Pleasant to the eyes, desirable to make one wise." Sin looks fun. Is fun at the time. Later, we often pay. It might be far in the distance we pay, but that just makes it worse. But Satan is cunning, so we don't often need to pay for our actions, like I said, till much later. And after all, how many people would sin if you had someone immediately thumping you over the back of the head as soon as you committed the sin, you got punished? Remember that when I was a kid, occasionally my father would catch me doing something and immediately thump me in the head. Yeah. They did receive worldly wisdom from eating the fruit. How well is that done for us? You know, it wasn't the kind of wisdom that helped them, nor will the wisdom we earn from living a worldly life help us on the path to the kingdom. How do we avoid the follies we often see in the example of Dan? Please turn to Amos. Amos 8, verse 14. First, we need to worship as God is instructed by us, not as we want. They worshiped as they wanted rather than the way God had directed them to do. They set up their own priests and idols. Later on, when Jeroboam had two golden calves erected, one of them was in the city of Dan. The last time the Bible even mentions Dan as a people was here in Amos. Amos 8:14. "Those who swear by the sin of Samaria, who say, 'As your God lives, O Dan, as the way of Beersheba lives,' they shall fall and never rise again." So the last mention of Dan is about their idol worship, that they will fall and never rise again. Second, we need to watch out for, we do not allow false teachers, like I said, to direct our path. To do so requires us to understand what the Bible tells us. We need to focus. To understand, we need to focus on learning and studying God's word, and not just weekly. That's how we keep false teachers from standing between us and our Father. Finally, we need to live as God instructs us. Please turn to 1 John 2:15. God blessed Samson at birth. God gave him incredible strength. So what went wrong? Think about what I'm about to read has affected Samson, a man who as a Nazarite could have been set apart from the world around him. We also need to remain separate in that way from the world around us. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the word of God, or the will of God, abides forever. The lust of flesh, the lust of the eye, is the pride of life. Samson certainly lusted over three women. None of them were good for him. Now we know all of his sins, and we know how his story ends. He's brought to a feast of the Philistine leadership. They can laugh at him. He prays to God to give him strength and brings the building down. A friend pointed this out to me. We don't know his whole story. After his eyes are put out and he's put to work as a grinder, he had time to repent and to renew his relationship with God. I don't know what happened because the Bible doesn't say what happened, but he is in the faith chapter. We can't go about living our lives as we wish. There's no guarantee that if we stray into the world, we'll find our way back to God. It can happen. When it does, we're all really joyful. But the odds are bad. Samson found his way back. Worship as we are instructed in the Bible. Don't allow false teachers. Live as God wishes us to live. Let's close in Revelation 7. Revelation 7, verse 4 through 8. I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. The tribe of Gad, the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Simeon, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Tribe of Joseph, and of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. You see who isn't mentioned? That's right, the tribe of Dan is not listed here. There will be individuals of the tribe of Dan in the kingdom, but Dan as a whole is missing from this passage. In our worship, in our lives, in our hope to enter the kingdom of God, don't be Dan.